What people are reefers?
What are reefers?
Yeah, man.
Mean a jet high?
Sailing.
Sailing?
Lightly.
Get away from here.
Man, is that the reefer, man?
That's the reefer, man.
I believe he's lost his mind.
I think he lost his mind.
once again, your host, Fred Massey.
You know, thank you. One night I was doing a gig at the Village Gate, and one of the songs I sang was this one, I'm in a Mood for Love. Well, after finishing my act, I sat at a table with some friends, when a pretty lady came over to me and she said, I just love the way you did my song. I'm Dorothy Fields. I wrote I'm in a Mood for Love. Well, can you imagine what a thrill I got? The best part of it was I didn't even know she was out there. Had I known, I probably would have blew it. Well, a few months later, I heard she had passed on. Well, I'd like to do that song for you now. So, Dorothy Fields, if you can hear me now, I hope you enjoy your song once more. I'm in the mood for love, simply because you're near me. Funny, but when you're near me, I'm in the mood for love. Heaven is in your eyes, bright as the stars we're under. Oh, is it any wonder I'm in the mood for love? I love all the many charms about you. I want my arms about you. Now don't be a naughty baby. Oh, come to Papa, come to Papa, do. My sweet embraceable, my irreplaceable, my sweet embraceable. After I kind of straighten my tie, she has to borrow my comb. A one kiss, then we continue again. A walking with baby, a talking with baby, a walking my baby back home. Sometimes I wonder why I spend each lonely night dreaming of a song. That melody haunts my memory, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. Oh, that was long ago. Now my consolation lies in this digest of a song. Beside a garden wall where stars were bright, you are always in my arms, my life a wreck you're making. You know I'm yours for just the taking. I'd gladly surrender myself to you, body, body and soul. If there's a cloud above, if it should rain, we'll let it. But for tonight, forget it. I'm in the mood. Oh, what a mood. I'm in the mood. story, too.
Hey, mamacita.
Hey, Juan Pollo. What's happening?
Yo, man. We're checking out the cool tunes over here at RadioValencia.com. We're listening to Ricky Ricardo, man.
Oh, Ricky, I love the Ricky. How are you listening to this, chicken?
When I'm riding my lowrider, I like to listen to
87.9
FM.
How do you listen to it at home, in your house?
Dude, it's easy. Radio Valencia by FM.
Had a lot of bull escape, so the bull was facing failure. Thank you.
I'm writing a letter to mother to tell her not to worry over me. I'm writing a letter to mother to tell her I'm okay, you see. Camp Page, Korea, Sunday, October the 5th, 1975. Dear Mom, well, I guess I'll tell you all the death story of my ugly birthmark. When and how I got my birthmark off. Well, it all started when the swimming pool here was open. Every time I went down there to get a good tan, everybody would look at my birthmark. So for a while, I let it go. It really didn't bother me that much. But I kept looking at it in the mirror, and I just got so fed up with it. So one day, while I was working out, I talked to a friend of mine who happened to be an army doctor. And so I asked him about cutting off something like a birthmark on your body. And he replied that the army wouldn't do nothing like that, and that it was against army policy to ever cut something like that off your body. Well, I had told myself that there's no way of doing it, and I had to live with it. And I convinced myself to just live with my birthmark. I said God put it on there, and so it'll stay there. Well, I went for about a week, and everybody asked me, what's that on your back? Until I got so tired of it. So I talked to a one Sergeant Joe, who told me he knows someone in Hongchong that would cut it off. Sergeant Joe is one of our Korean MPs that live here on post. And you know what? He sure can speak good English. So the next day, me and him went to the hospital. It didn't look like a hospital. And he and I talked to the doctor there. You know what? The doc knew real good English, too. He went to school in the U.S., so he knew of what I wanted. Well, he just talked to me for a while and just asked me a few questions and told me to come back the next morning at 10. The next night, I was so scared that I wasn't going to do it. But the next morning, I got up, got dressed, went, ate breakfast, and boy, was I scared. I just thought that if someone found out I did it, boy, would I be in trouble. But I kept right on thinking about surprising you all when I come home and didn't have no birthmark. And I even surprised me. It was my one dream to have it off. So I went to the doc at about 10 o'clock, and he was there. We went in his office, and he talked to me a little more and looked at my birthmark a little more. Then we went into the next room, where three fine, good-looking nurses gave me a physical before going into the operating room. Then I told the doc, Doc Jams, that I wanted to be fully asleep before ever seeing a butcher knife. But seems he had other plans of his own in his mind. The nurses gave me a shot. Boy, that just about killed me. And I thought that it was to put me to sleep. So I was expecting to fall asleep. But then all of a sudden the doctor said, let's go in here. So I got up, and all I had on was my jeans. They didn't even wheel me in the operating room. And guess what? It reminded me of when I worked at Colburn's meat shop. Really, there was just a long table in the center of the room, and another doctor with this rag around his mouth. I was a-fixin' to turn and run around. But I walked to the table, and he told me to lay on my left side, so I did. First, about seven good-looking nurses came into the room. I didn't even care to look at them. All I was worrying about was that stupid guy laying on a table, meaning me. Well, the doctor put a red tracer on my back. He said he had to draw a diagram of how my skin ran. So when he sews me up, he wouldn't go as crooked as a snake. Then after he got finished playing around with the skin on my back, he said, this is going to hurt a little. I looked around, and boy, what a needle. It had to be at least 9 inches long. He stuck it right in the middle of my birthmark. See, all this time I thought I was supposed to go to sleep. But not a thing like that happened. I even tried to help myself to go to sleep, and that didn't even work. The doctor said it was to deaden the area of my birthmark, but I still felt him touch my back. Then all of a sudden I felt something running down my back, so I figured it was blood from him cutting my birthmark. Well, he pulled and he tugged, and finally something happened. The shot that he gave me was wearing off, And a couple of times, I felt him cutting my skin. And it got so bad that I balled up my fist. And so help me, if that other doctor and nurses hadn't held me down, I would have smacked him upside his face. Mom, Dad, believe me, I went through some kind of pain. After he sewed me up and wiped the blood off my back, he said I was finished. Boy, was I glad. Then I got up and I looked around me. And was I dizzy. I looked and I saw about a sheet full of blood. Not that much, but there was a lot of rags with blood. Then he picked up something out of the pan. And guess what? That's the first time I seen my birthmark in person. Looking at me square in the face. And boy, was it ugly. I asked him how many stitches did it take. And he said 21. Then I walked to his office and he told me how much. But I really didn't care, just as long as it was over. It cost me 40,000 wons. And in American money, it would be $80. Well, I wasn't pleased with the price, but I sure didn't want him to put it back on. He then gave me an injection shot and pain pills, and I went home to Campage, where I went to work at 3 o'clock. The operation took 1 hour and 45 minutes and $80 of my money. But one important thing is, it took the birthmark off. I went back for 5 days, getting bandages changed and more injection shots, which a pretty good-looking nurse gave them to me. After a week and a half, he took the stitches out, and I haven't gone there since, and I won't. Well, now it's okay, and I feel okay, too. I'll send you all a picture when I develop my film, okay? Now you all know, and I told you all, I'd come back home different, didn't I? Love to all, your son Gail. P.S. You know what, Mom? Now I'm starting to worry about the scar on my back. I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell her not to worry over me. I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell her I'm okay, you see.
wash the dishes, the lower made those chores for the missus. So wash it and dishes and scrub them hands. A man ain't meant to have fish pan hands. Stop your whining and stop your bitching. A woman's place is in.
Drown with love, and in the moonlight, stood there looking stupid by a chart. One night in mid-August when the moonlight got too strong, they climbed off their pedestal and then they sang this song. The gun emplacement and the bones as white as bleach, through the rats and ivy till they came out on a beach, out into the ocean till it disappeared from view. Honey, when it gets you, there's just nothing you can do. Underwater moonlight sets the body.
From the dark. special.
Such a pressure.
Last night was a waste of time. This morning's not much better. This morning's not much better.
It's on Valencia Radio Monday 6 to 8
Nero before Zor. occasionally have a bit too much to drink? Well, you should listen to the Maldoror and Dr. Junk Show. We'll get you home from the bar safely. Here's an actual recording of us dropping off a longtime listener at his very doorstep. Let's listen, shall we?
This is letting itself into his home. And you're in.
Thank you.
Be careful. Sleep on your side. You all right?
No. Just shut the door. It'll be fine.
All right.
The Maldoror and Dr. Junk Show, making sure you make it home safe, more or less, since 2010. The Maldoror and Dr. Junk Show is Sunday afternoons from 2 to 4 p.m. on Radio Valencia FM and 87.9 FM. Dr. Junk and Maldoror are not actually responsible enough to make sure you get home. No civilians were harmed in the making of this promo. The Maldoror and Dr. Junk Show. Just shut the door. It'll be fine.
Hello, we... speaking. Yeah. No, this is really not a very good time. I'm sorry. No, I'm entertaining a house balloon. Oh, look, would you just take me off your list?
You cannot hide on a desert island or on a raft in the Bering Sea. In some small shack in the hills of Thailand. Wherever you are, that's where they'll be. MCI may call you any night, any day. You eat, that's when they'll call you. Switch away. Switch away. Once you've switched, you will hear from Pac-Bell, Sprint, or ATT. Just 5 cents to call Long Island. Switch to me, back to me. They won't let you sleep. They'll call in your dreams. You're on the list now for telemarket schemes. Special offer, 1 month free, 1 month free. Won't you try? Come and buy MCI. One day they'll free me. If I move to Mecca, my head peering out from a full body shroud. If still they call me, as though I'm in Tribeca, loud and clear, I will scream. MCI, ATT, let me be. Don't know why, but still they call me, though my name they can't quite say. And the spouse they always ask for, though I tell them I'm gay. Then I called their customer service, and the answer came to me. When they called, I played them music.